John, what we are among, born again, Jesus Christ is Lord, and my Savior. I have seen him, I have seen his goodness upon my life. I'm grateful to God for this morning, for allowing me to come and share the oracles of God with you. God has been gracious and good enough in our lives, with my family, and we say hi, we see those meetings. We will see them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are grateful and thankful for this morning that you have given us. That Lord, you have called us by your own name and by your own will that we come into your sanctuary. That Lord, we may learn from you and hear from you this day. That you continue strengthening us and giving us courage to face each and every situation that comes our way. Knowing that they that believe in you and them that trust in you, they are like Mount Zion which cannot be shaken or moved. We are grateful for giving us an opportunity that we may share your word, that it may impact our lives and shape our destiny. How we pray this morning, Lord, that you speak to us. How we pray that you interpret it in your own will and in your own way. And you give us the ears that hears and mind that understands. So that whatever we are going to learn today and to hear today will be of benefit to us to the glory of your name. We bless you and we give you glory unto you through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. For them that came a little bit later, we read from the book of Esther, chapter 5, we read from verse 1 to 8, and then we went all the way to chapter 6, we read from verse 1 to 3. I want us to share our sermon today, given the theme, Indulgent Worship Creates a Sleepless King. Indulgent worship creates a sleepless king. The book of Esther was written in a time when the Persian Empire were ruling the world. And it was written during the reign of King Ahasuerus. We don't know, or it is not recorded who wrote this book, but it was written at a time when the Israelites were captives in Babylon. And the Persians had already conquered the world, and so they were reigning. And at this time, King Ahasuerus was the one who was reigning. It is a story of a young woman, his cousin, or her cousin, the king, the king's general, and some others. And this story is based on the deliverance of the Jewish people from captivity. Now, the chapter that we read, we see Esther preparing a banquet and goes to the king in his royal chamber, stands before the king, and the king finds favor to Esther, or her favor to Esther. And so the king stretches his scepter to show that she has accepted she has accepted Esther to be in his presence. At that time, you couldn't go to the presence of the king without having an appointment or without the king requiring you to be in his presence. It's just like today. You cannot go to State House if you don't have an appointment with the president. Isn't that right? And so, if you happen to go to the State House or to the president's office in Harambe House, and you stand before him and the president showcases you, you are now welcome. That means that you have found favor in the eyes of the president. And that's the same thing that Queen Esther or Esther did. Remember, there was a decree by this general Haman, because Mordecai was sitting at the gate of the court, of the king's court, and he failed to bow before the general. And so the general became angry with them and had a plan to wipe out the Jewish people. And so they fasted and prayed so that God can intervene. Let us not go there. That's for another day. Have you ever needed that one night or that one moment in your life where things turns around? Maybe you are going in one direction, and then you require that one moment where things would turn around in your favor. I want to believe that all of us who are here have had that urge, that maybe my life has not been going the way I would have wanted it to go, and I would need the intervention of God to come through to my situation and change my situation, and change my status, and change my life. Understanding what creates that moment of divine favor are some of the things that we learn from Queen Esther, or we learn from Esther. Esther found favor. What is favor? Favor is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. Favor is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. Why do we all go to school? We go to school to be prepared to face the next phase of life. We go to primary school, we learn how to write, how to read, how to talk. Being prepared to go to secondary school and be prepared to face the challenges that comes in secondary school. Then after secondary school, we are trained again for the next phase of life. Success is what happens when preparation meets potential. We see Esther preparing a banquet, going in front of the king and requesting the king to come with the general to her table. And I'm talking about indulgent worship. How should our worship be? What would make our king, the king of kings, not live at the place of worship, our place of meeting with him, without having fulfilled our desires or having met our requests unto him? Brothers and sisters, we have come today, this morning, with a purpose. And number one is to give all adoration and praises unto God. Isn't that so? But how should our worship be? How should we worship this God who is able to change the tide, who is able to turn our lives around, who is able to save us from the things that are difficult in our lives, who is able to restore our situations, and who is able to raise us from dust to glory? How should our worship be? Number one, our worship should be accurate. It must be based on scripture, not our own opinions about God. Accurate worship. You know, at times you find people who believe in God, yes, but when they approach God, they go with their own opinions. Other than what the scripture says about God, or other than what the scripture says about what God can do, they go with their own opinion. But we are told our worship should be accurate. Number two, it should be authentic. It's not just a matter of saying words without meaning what we say. For our worship to be authentic, we should think what words we say or the words that we use as we praise the Lord. See, to make believe what Alpha and Omega, you are worthy to be. If you understand what Alpha and Omega means, in the Greek language, the first letter is Alpha, and the last letter is Omega. And so when the Greek or when the writer of the scripture says that the Lord is Alpha and Omega, he means that there is nothing else, that God is in between the first letter and the last. Hakuna kitu kingine, ama kuna kitu kingine zaidi ya yeye, ama mbele ya yeye. No, hakuna letter nyingine zaidi ya Z or Z. Hakuna. And so he says that God is the first and the last. And as we worship God, we should put into consideration the words that we say, the words that we use. We should understand them so that our worship will be accurate. God looks past our words. He looks at the attitudes of our hearts. He looks past our words. Not just where we come and we lift our hands and praise and sing and do all whatever we do, but it is the attitude of our hearts that God looks. And so when our worship has to be authentic, we should be considering what are our attitudes when we go into the presence of the Lord. When I ask you, we all come to church with different reasons, for different reasons. There are some who come to church because it is mandatory. Their parents have put laws that it is mandatory, you must go to church, come to what may. The others who come to church because I want to see my friend. There are those who come to church because they are seeking boyfriends and girlfriends. And so when you come to church, see Pakaonan. The others who come to church because they don't have anywhere or anything to do. And so, he must ask whom? That's a thing, yeah? Church. At least, time is longer. Our worship should be authentic. It should engage our emotions. One has to do it. They must forget. They must forget. You know, there is this kind of worship, and you'll find it in most of our churches, in the Anglican church, where we are singing a song and one is just having like a tree. And the church is better because it looks like a post. So now I come and eat in the steamer. At a way point, there is a song. There are people who worship God like that. Then they don't involve even their hands or legs or anything. And there are even others who will not even talk, or they won't even sing. Even a song that is known. And we are lucky because our songs are projected. So, even if you don't know the songs, you can read. One has to read. Let our worship be authentic. The other one, it has to be thoughtful. God is not pleased with thoughtless singing of hymns. Thoughtless singing of hymns. We have sung that song, a very beautiful one. More about Jesus. More of his fullness. More of his goodness. More of him to know. Why should we know Jesus? Why should we know God? Why should we be thoughtful about this worshiping of our God? One thing that Esther understood is that what she prepared for the king the first night and the second night would make the king to grant her the request. One has here. Esther prepared a banquet for the king. But when the king asked, "What is your request? That I may grant to you even half of my kingdom," and mind you, they were reigning over 127 provinces, from Macedonia all the way to India. King would even give a half of his kingdom to Esther. But Esther did not make her request known that very first night. One has given.
So he had thought about it. What would that mean to him? What best thing that I can give this king that she would grant, that he would grant?
My request. The other thing, our worship must be practical. It must be practical. God wants us to give him even our bodies. And that's why the scripture tells us that we present our bodies as living sacrifices. There are people who do something we call dualism. Dualism is separating the body and the spirit. When you say the spirit is good, the spirit cannot see, but the body can do anything. These are the people who stand and say, I am born again. Jesus is the savior of my soul. And it is good. But they leave their body to do whatever they are pleased. Our worship must be practical. When we give God our souls and our spirits, we must also give him our bodies. Because here on this earth, the body is the only thing that has the legal right of living here. And that is why God uses people to bless people. And Satan uses people to bring down people. Unanielewa? That God, for God to act in this world, he must use people. Because they are the one who has the legal right of living in this planet. So, our worship must be practical. Enough for us. When we set our covenant of worship, when we set a table before God, do we just go to God and present our petitions and our requests and our things that we need? Or what first do we give our God? What first do we give our God for him to attend to our issues? Remember, I told you Esther did not make her request known. But she prepared the first banquet and the second banquet. Passionate overwhelming worship can heighten God's activity of watching. Passionate overwhelming worship can heighten God's activity of watching us. When we set a banqueting table for our king, that spills over with adoration, with love, with the sweet fragrance of worship and praise, then that night or that moment, our King of Kings would rise from his royal thrones with holiness and shake the heavens for us, on us here. It is after that moment when you give all you have, all that you are, unto God, that he will not leave your table hungry, that he raises from his royal throne and turns the table, and turns the ladder, and turns the event for you. What are the three lessons that we can learn from these scriptures or from what has been? Number one, that the King of Kings checks his records. If you read Malachi chapter 3 verse 16, there were people who were conversing about God, and God heard them and said, write that which these people are talking about, that it may be put into remembrance. Remember, what we converse about each and every other day, God hears. And when we converse about him, and we talk about his love and his goodness and his mercies, it is put in the book of remembrance. One has appeared. We read in the book of Revelation that some books were opened, and then another book of, like, what does this book, those books contain? It contains what we do. And so, the king, when he lost his sleep, he said, bring the records, the chronicles, and read what is written. It is after that moment when we worship God in truth and in spirit that he records our activity. Number two. He plans your reward. After the chronicles were read unto the king, and that area when Mordecai had saved the king, When Big Dada, there were two guys who wanted to kill the king, Big Dada and Teresh. They had planned to kill the king. And so Mordecai heard about it. And he warned the bodyguards or the people who guarded the king. And so it was recorded, but he was not rewarded. When the records were read, they found that Mordecai had not been rewarded. What has he feel? When we worship this God and he puts in his records our activity, he puts into his records what we did, and to them that were hungry, and to them that were thirsty, and to them that were naked, and to them that did not have a place to sleep, and to them that were in prison, when he put that into record, he plans our reward. One has given. When Esther went before the queen, before the king, she found favor in the eyes of the queen. We will find favor when we go before the Lord, when we worship him in truth and in spirit. And God will plan our reward. And number three, the last one, is his heart is soft towards you. The king's heart was soft towards the queen or Esther. But we must set aside our needs for just a moment. We must set aside our needs for just a moment. It is taking, you know, going before the Lord with nothing, forgetting about your worries, forgetting about your issues, and you present yourself before the Lord. You adore him, you praise him, you pour out your love unto God. You know, not first presenting your request and your petitions, but first pouring out your heart unto him, and then the king's heart is soft towards you, that he grants your request even before you say it. Read in the book of Daniel, when Daniel started fasting for his people, the Lord sent an angel and said, your prayers have been answered. One has given. It was the first time, the first day that Daniel had planned to fast for 3 days. But on the very first day of his fasting, God had already answered his why. Because Daniel had poured out his love unto God. Are we together? When we pour our love unto God, he grants our request even before we ask. Remember, man like Abraham, who was told by God, leave your country, leave your people, go to a place that I will show you, and I will be with you. Abraham, Abubishana, he just left. And when he was told to give, to sacrifice his son, Abubishana, he did it. You know, at times we are requested to sacrifice. We are requested to do something, but before we do it, we are bishana. Akitabatu bishane, event in a bin, in a bida. Let us learn to offer ourselves. Let us learn to give to God all we are and all we have, so that before we pray, he will have answered our prayers. Look at Mary. When Mary was told, you're going to bear a son, and the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, Mary said, let the will of God be done unto me. You know, she just agreed. She just accepted. And when she accepted, the favor of the Lord was up on her. Brothers and sisters, indulgent worship creates a sleepless key. Let us worship our God accurately, thoughtfully, practical, and authentic worship. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.